This week, we are revisiting some of our favorite interviews with remarkable women. For example, Chicago's own Mavis Staples.
She became a legend first with her family gospel group, the Staples Singers, and then as a star of soul and R&B and hits like I'll Take You There.
And then she stole my heart. Here's Mavis Staples.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter.
Oh, Mavis, thank you so much. Can we say it on balance? It's a great time to be from Chicago. On balance.
Yeah. Chicago, you know, is the most beautiful city in the world to me.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Yes, it is. You know, Pops came to us one time and said, y'all know, they said, if we move to Los Angeles.
No, I'm just interrupting. This is Pop Staples, your father.
Pop Staples, yes.
Who led, of course, the great gospel group, the Staples.
Yes, Staples. He did. You all know, the managers are saying if we move to Los Angeles, we stand a better chance of making it. You know, yeah. If you're already out there, you know, then you get a better chance. And he asks us, do you all want to move to Los Angeles? And all of us in harmony said, no, Daddy. We didn't want to move.
So it's true. You started singing with your family when you were how old?
I was 8 years old.
You were 8 years old?
And 8 years old.
On the road performing?
No. We didn't start. We were at home on the floor. You know, when we were rehearsing, we started singing. My aunt lived with us. She came through one night and she said, y'all sound pretty good. I believe I want y'all to sing at my church. And we were happy. You know, that Sunday we were going to sing someplace other than on the living room floor. And went to Aunt Katie's church and we sang the very first song that Pops taught us. And that, you know, the people liked us so much they clapped us back.
All right.
And we had to sing that same song over and over. Because it was the only one he had taught us all the way through.
But you have to tell us what that song is.
Oh, that song is, will the circle be unbroken
by and by, Lord, by and by.
Yeah. So after that, they clapped us back so much, Pop says, well, shucks, these people like us. We're going home and learn some more songs.
And
The rest is history.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody's ever pointed this out to you, but you have a rather distinctive voice. And did you always have that? Did you always?
I've always had. I used to have fights. Really? You know, kids at school, you sound like a boy. And the acapella teacher, I wanted to sing in the acapella choir. He would tell me always, Mavis, come out of the basement. You're with the boys. You're singing with the boys. You know, and I, Mr. Finch, I'm not a soprano. My voice, I would wake up, someone, when we started traveling, I called down for breakfast. The lady would say, yes, Mr. Staples. Yeah. So I just started to taking it.
Now, you said you were traveling, so after a while, your family began going out on the road, performing gospel music and other places, and that's an odd way for a young woman to grow up, isn't it?
No, well, being with your family is fun, but actually, we didn't start traveling until after we made this record for VJ Records called Uncloudy Day, and I was actually singing bass. You know, wow. And people, we started getting letters from everywhere, and Pop says, well, these people want us to come out. We would drive.
Yeah.
And we'd get to these places, and this jockey say, this is little Mavis Staples, little girl singing this. People would actually bet that I was not a little girl. Yeah. There's got to be a man or a big fat lady.
But were you ever at home in school, or were you on the road all the time?
Oh, yes. I didn't miss any of my childhood.
Really?
I don't know. We would travel on the weekends. Pops would come to school and tell the teachers, give Mavis some homework. She won't be back on Monday. I would always get back to school on Tuesday.
So you were like a schoolgirl in the week, and on the weekends you were traveling a singing star. You were like the gospel Hannah Montana. I don't think that's I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Hannah Montana, she has a tutor, doesn't she?
I think she does. I'm not sure. I'm sorry. You didn't have that.
We couldn't afford a tutor.
So there's so much to cover, and we don't have enough time, but in the 60s, you guys, I don't know how it first happened. You sang at a rally where Martin Luther King was speaking, or you met him through performing, right?
We met him. We happened to be in Montgomery, Alabama on a Sunday.
Right.
And that Sunday morning, we were singing that night. That Sunday morning, Pops called us to his room. He said, listen, y'all, this man Martin is here. He had been here on the radio. Yeah. Dr. King had a radio show. And Pops said, he has a church here. I want to go to his 11 o'clock service. Do you all want to go? We said, yes, sir, we want to go. We all went to Dr. King's church. We were ushered in. Someone let him know that we were in the service, and he acknowledged us, said, I'm happy to have Pop Staples and his daughters here this morning, and we hope you enjoy the service. After the service, Dr. King stands at the door to shake the worshipers' hands as they file out. My sisters and I, we walked past, shook his hand, and when Pops got to him, he stood there and talked with him for a while. He finally came on. We get back to the hotel. He called us to his room again. He said, listen, y'all, I really like this man's message. I like his message. And I think that if he can preach it, we can sing it. Hmm. And that's when we started writing freedom songs. Why Am I Treated So Bad was his favorite. And we would be going to a meeting. Dr. King would tell Pops, now, Stape, you're going to sing my song tonight, right? Hmm. And Pops said, oh, yeah, doctor, we're going to sing your song. We would sing before he would speak, and that would be, Why Am I Treated So Bad?
Huh. So you work with everybody in music. In fact, you work with Bob Dylan, we understand.
Yeah, Dylan. You know, we met Dylan like in 62, and his manager said, won't you meet the Staples Singers? He said, oh, I know the Staples Singers. I've listened to the Staples Singers since I was 12 years old. But he even quoted a lyric out of one of ours. He said, Mavis be singing Yonder Come Little David with his rockin' sling. I don't want to meet him. He's a dangerous man. And it just blew Pops' mind. But then he started singing his song, and Pops said, listen, y'all, you hear what that kid is saying? And he was saying, how many roads must a man walk down before you can call him a man? And that Pops could relate to that. So he said, we can sing that song. And we did.
I bet you did.
Yeah, we came right home and learned it.
I gotta ask, you actually and Dylan became quite close, right?
Oh, you know. Oh, Dylan. Yeah, Dylan was,
All right. That's fine, man.
We were good friends.
We were good friends.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Bob, you know, he was a cutie back then. He was.
He really was. Curly. He had that curly hair.
Didn't he, eh?
Yeah.
He had curly hair.
He was tiny.
But Mavis,
though.
I'm sorry, you could sing him under the table.
Oh, no. But his lyrics are, you know, he's the world's greatest poet. But no, I can't sing Dylan under the table. You know, just because he's tiny. But back then, both of us were little, you know.
Sure. And appropriately scaled, I understand. I understand.
I don't know how that got out. Someone, that internet.
Yeah. You know,
that doggone internet, you know. One disc jockey said, well, I hear you and Dylan, you know, proposed marriage to you. I said, where did you get that from? The internet.
Well, then it must be true.
It's got to be true. Well?
Yes, indeed.
And what was your response to this question?
That, well, you know, I cannot tell a lie. I'm Pop Staples' daughter. But I didn't acknowledge it. You know, I just said, after he told me where, I said, those internet people just need to mind their own business.
Yeah.
You know, but Dylan, the way he did that, he just did it out of the blue. He proposed.
He proposed out of the blue.
What he told Pops. He didn't tell me.
What, Bob Dylan asked your father for your hand in marriage?
He didn't ask. He told Pops.
He told him.
Pops,
he's a lot braver than I. He's a lot braver than I thought he was.
Yeah.
What did he say to your father?
Pops, I want to marry Mavis. And Pops said, well, don't tell me. Tell Mavis.
You
know.
You little pusher.
That was during the time it was lunch. Everybody heard him. We were in line, you know, to get our lunch.
Wait a minute. You're standing in line?
Yeah.
At like some sort of buffet?
That's right.
And he's standing there behind your father and says, oh, by the way.
Yeah.
I want to marry your daughter, and can I have the potatoes? What?
He just shouted it. I guess it just came over him.
I understand.
Something came. Something got
a hold of him. I feel it now. I'm totally down with that. I want to talk about somebody else who at least we know is a fan of yours because he used your song at his campaign rallies, Mr. Barack Obama.
Obama,
yeah.
Mama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You must be...
Yeah.
That's a sign. They were playing... I'll take you there, right?
I'll take you there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard it many times in his campaigns.
Did they reach out to you at all? Have you met the man?
Not at all.
You're
you
kidding
know,
me.
We belong to the same church.
Yeah.
And Barack.
I make the same mistake.
You did that. Barack. When he was at church, we weren't there.
Right.
When we were in church, he wasn't there.
Yeah.
So we never had the opportunity to meet him.
Right.
But I was very happy for him. I was very happy that he is the president-elect. That night, I didn't make it to Grant Park. I was at home. I was just filled with joy. I tried to do a cartwheel.
How'd that go?
I couldn't get up there.
I understand.
I couldn't get up.
I understand. But we don't understand this. We understand that for the inauguration, the Obama people have picked some other singer, this Aretha something.
Wow.
She's not from Chicago.
Oh, what's her name?
Yeah. What? I don't understand what's up with that.
Riri. It's good. It's all good. You know.
Well, you're a very gracious person. But I'm just saying, because I know, I'm sure Barack Obama drops everything to listen to this show. I'm just saying. Chicago born, Chicago, you know, this is you got to represent Hyde Park, Mr.
President. I really should be there.
I think
she really
should
be there.
I think she should be there. It was your song that put him over the top, so.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
I'm just saying.
Yes, I should be there. You know, I've been to Kennedy's inauguration, Carter, and Clinton. Why am I not at Barack Obama?
I don't know. I think something should be done about this.
Yeah, Peter,
yes.
fix it for me.
I will. You have no idea what sway I have.
I can hear.
I am a public radio host.
I know that's right. I know that's
when I
right.
Say
right,
jump.
You could give Barack Obama like a mug or something.
Oh yes,
in
yes.
Exchange,
we could swap commemorative plates.
Right.
And does he do anything for that? Well, Mavis Staples, we are so delighted to have you with us. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling.
Hello. I'm looking for a dozen highlighter pens in a fluorescent green.
Which is a question we're sure you get all the time by the people who confuse you with Staples, the office supply superstore.
Oh.
But since you are not a vast warehouse filled with office implements, we thought we'd ask you three questions about office supplies.
Oh.
If you get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Mavis Staples playing for?
Mavis is playing for Henry Herman of Falls Church, Virginia.
Are you ready to do this?
I'm ready.
You can do this. You can handle any challenge. I can tell. We begin with the stapler. This office device was invented, strange as it may seem, by whom? A, President Millard Fillmore, who frittered away his time in office trying to improve the efficiency of White House filing. B, King Louis XV of France, who desired a way to affix gold metal seals to his documents. Or C, Isaac Newton, the great physicist, who tried to market it as a toy.
Ah. Oh.
Millard Fillmore, Louis XV, Isaac Newton. One of them invented the stapler.
I think I'll go with Brother Fillmore. Did he do it?
I'm sorry, it was actually Louis XV of France invented the stapler. I know, I'm sorry about that. He did want to put his little gold seals on his little documents. All right, we still have two more chances here.
Okay.
Next office product, Scotch tape.
Oh, wow.
How did it get its name, Mavis? How did Scotch tape get its name? A, it was named after the sound it makes when you tear off a long strip, like scourge. B, it was first marketed during the great Scottish fad of the 1920s when all the products were being sold in tartan with kilts and shillelaghs. Or C, it was a rude ethnic joke aimed at the owners of the company who were too Scottish and thus cheap to put more glue on the tape.
Ah. You know, that one you said they were wearing the kilts. Let's go with him.
You're going to go with that. You're going to go with that. It was just a big Scotch thing. Everything,
yeah,
everything cool.
Yeah.
Like instead of like I in front of everything, everything was Scots or man.
Scotch.
It was actually
wrong.
It was an ethnic joke. I'm sorry. It was.
Oh,
I've never felt
Peter.
Worse. I feel terrible.
Peter.
Don't make it worse.
Why you treat me so bad? I tell you, I've been good.
Wow. What happened with the Scotch tape, not that it's important, was that they were testing it and they gave it to the first people to use, and they said, take this tape back to those Scotch bosses of yours and tell them to put more adhesive on it, and the name stuck, and it became.
So that's not an ethnic joke?
That's very offensive, don't you think, Roy?
Yeah. Scots Americans.
I don't even like to hear it repeated.
I don't.
All right, last question.
Okay.
We bring you the adding machine. The first practical adding machine was invented by William Seward Burroughs in the 1880s, but it had a small flaw. What was it? A, if you added too many numbers too quickly, it would catch fire. B, the results you got depended on how hard you pulled the handle. Or C, if you wanted to subtract numbers, you had to disassemble the machine, a process that took 2 hours every time.
I like that.
You know that, disassembling?
Like that. Yeah, disassemble it, you know, and let's hang loose with it. it take 2 hours.
To disassemble it, in case you wanted to take a number. To
and
subtract.
What was this about?
This is. It was about nothing of any importance whatsoever.
Oh, Peter.
No, it was about adding machines.
You know, did I win thing. Anything for
well,
you?
Well, hold on.
Oh, yeah, the adding machine.
I should mention just in passing that, in fact, the right answer was B. But that's not important right now. Did you know that the guy who invented the adding machine, his grandson was William Burroughs?
Burroughs.
Yeah, William Burroughs, yeah. The writer.
Ah.
Who knew that?
Wow.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Did you know that?
Well, that,
I
didn't know. That I makes know it all better, Peter.
It does, yeah.
Good.
Carl, how did Mavis Staples do in our quiz?
Not too well, Peter. She needed at least two correct answers to win for Henry Herman.
Yeah. Oh, Henry.
Yeah.
Henry. Oh, Henry.
Oh, Henry.
I think he just made his day.
I'm sorry.
Say his name in that voice of yours, and I think he'll feel fine.
He'll put that on his answer machine.
Yeah. Oh, Henry.
Hey! All right. I would much rather just talk to you than do anything else, so I'm going to ask you a couple more questions. Now, you've got a new CD out. It's called Live Hope at the Hideout, right? Hideout here in Chicago. Great little club.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're not going to stop performing, are you?
Oh, no way.
No way.
No way.
No way. Bless your heart for that.
No way.
Mavis Staples is a Hall of Fame singer.
Thank you.
Your latest album, Live Hope at the Hideout, available now. Mavis Staples, thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Mavis.
I love you. I know a place.